Hi, everybody, and welcome to Two at the First for today, October the 28th, 2022. I am Ryan Ballengee. Good to have you here with us. We are presented by our friends at French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. We have two topics for you, as the name of the show implies. We have only an audio version of the show today, no video version on YouTube or our website, golfnewsnet.com, for a couple of reasons. One, I look awful. I have not been sleeping the best the last couple of weeks. Long story. But also, we've been spending a lot of time the last couple of days, including today, getting the launch of Golf News Net Radio ready to roll. So yesterday we had a call with our technical partners who do the streaming and automation pieces of it. And we got all of that stuff talking and a confirmation the stream works and going out to the world. And then today was able to put it on the website, golfnewsnet.com. So you can actually listen to a stream. It's really just a test right now. It's just audio that we've got on the station. And some ad breaks included in there to test that part of it out. And then, hopefully next week I will have more information for you on how to listen to the station in full. So probably next, I'm going to guess Tuesday, just guessing how things have gone with this the last year. But let's say Tuesday or Wednesday, I will put that information out on golfnewsnet.com. It'll be in our the break newsletter on Monday or Thursday, depending on when I have it for you. And you'll be able to listen to Golf News Net Radio really any way that you consume audio. So it'll be available on our website, golfnewsnet.com. It'll be available through iHeart and their digital channels. So on their TV app for Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire. It'll be available on their mobile app, of course. So you can listen through your phone or you can use that app to listen using Apple CarPlay or Android Auto if you have that available in your vehicle. You'll also be able to listen on their website, and you'll be able to listen on smart speakers, pretty much any kind. And if you are an international listener or just prefer this platform, you can use TuneIn as well to listen to Golf News Net Radio. It'll be a 24/7 stream of golf talk once we really get things going in January. But over the course of the next 2.5 months, we'll be adding more programming each day. There'll be at least a handful of hours of fresh programming each day, which I'm really excited about. All kinds of different voices, topics, points of view in the game of golf that has me very excited about everything. This is a big day. It's a big day for me personally. But less about me personally, more about the golf that we talk about on the show. This week, the PGA Tour event is the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. It's a $6.5 million, 132-person event being played at Port Royal Golf Course in Southampton, Bermuda, just kind of the southwestern portion of the island. It's kind of set up relative to the United States or in the ocean, kind of like a Redan green, reverse Redan, I guess. And the defense of this golf course, which is the shortest on the PGA Tour, as you might imagine, is weather. And if the weather materializes, the golf course can be tougher. If the weather doesn't materialize, it's not going to be hard at all. And the weather did not materialize yesterday, and so far, recording today, it hasn't materialized either. But a couple of players shot 62 yesterday to take the lead after round one, Austin Smotherman and Harrison Endicott. They both shot a great score. And then there were a bunch of players that shot 63, including pre-tournament favorite and D.C. area native Denny McCarthy. And one of the other guys that shot 63 was Arjun Atwal. And Arjun Atwal was the last guy in this golf tournament. He got in the tournament as a result of a withdrawal. He became one of the alternates to get into the field at the absolute last second, and he took advantage. He shot 63, which, I mean, that's huge. He got in on Thursday when Nicholas Lindheim pulled out of the tournament with a back injury. Got in, shot 63, one back of the lead. He's out on the golf course right now as I'm recording this, so he's part of the afternoon wave on Friday. But this has been a really hard year for Arjun Atwal. If you know Arjun Atwal's story a little bit as a professional golfer, he is the last guy to win on the PGA Tour after being a Monday qualifier, won the Wyndham Championship doing that. So he has a very interesting distinction in PGA Tour history, one of really a handful of people in the modern era to have done that. But he's 49 years old, on the verge of maybe potentially playing PGA Tour champion someday or trying to qualify for it. And it's been a very difficult year for him because his father passed away earlier in the year, and he spent a lot of time in his native India over the summer trying to kind of get his life together. And dealing with all of the stuff that comes from grief and trying to spend time with his family. And he hasn't been able to spend a lot of time with his family the last couple of years, who remain in India because of COVID and travel restrictions, trying to maintain a life as a professional golfer, traveling the world, while at the same time also trying to be mindful of restrictions that might keep you from traveling from tournament to tournament. And he kind of put all that naturally on hold. And after the 63 yesterday, spoke about that and said, quote, "I've never had a loss in my immediate family. It's my first one, so it's really hard to deal with. And with my parents, they lived in India. My mom still lives in India. Not having seen them for all these years, it was really tough on me." And as he's kind of talked about taking a big break from golf. And he said, quote, "Last Friday was the first time I played since my dad passed. Before that was Barracuda, I think, or somewhere. That was the last tournament I played, and that was it. I hadn't touched my clubs since," end quote. Which gives you a sense of how amazing the best golfers in the world are. This guy is going through a tremendously difficult time in his personal life. And I imagine it's really difficult to fathom what's going on when you lose one of your parents. If you're particularly close to him, even more difficult. And he hadn't really played golf, gets into the tournament just kind of by happenstance and shoots 63. And I'm sure some of that might have been a little bit inspired, but that's pretty incredible. And he didn't even know if he was going to have a tee time on Thursday, of course, being the first alternate. He showed up at the golf course, as you would expect the person in that position, which, by the way, you have to travel to Bermuda. You can't just obviously be there as a proxy and then show up. You got to be there. So he was there before the earliest tee time, kind of hoping for a spot. And he said he got there around 7:30 in the morning, was hitting wedges, went to breakfast. And at about 8:45, his caddy texted him, quote, Atwal said, he's like, "Oh, 9:10, we might have a game. So I left my breakfast, came out, hit a few drivers, and off we went. It was fun. Started with 3 birdies in a row." And then he had 6 more, 1 bogey, shot 63. And hopefully he plays really well. I mean, tournaments like this, they get a bad rap naturally because the field's not great. We have one top 50 player in the official World Golf Ranking competing this week, Seamus Power. We've got other players who have done well in the FedEx Cup, like Denny McCarthy, players who have done big things, Thomas Dietrich, who's been playing really well, was one of the guys who shot 64 yesterday to get his tournament started. But the tournaments get a bad rap because they just don't have as many top-ranked players. But stories like this are really, really interesting. And if you follow Ryan French, Case of the Golf, Monday Q Info, you get a lot of stories like that. This is what golf is. This is, at its core, really what golf is. People trying to work through and earn their dreams, even amid really difficult circumstances. And for one, we'll be rooting for Arjun Atwal the next couple of days. I hope he plays well. I hope he gets a top 10 and maybe gets into the next event on the schedule, because even if he doesn't win, a top 10 gets him into the next open event. Well, that's an opportunity to play. That's not trying to sit around and wait. That's not Monday qualifying. I mean, that can be a big thing. That can be a big deal. This 63 could be a big deal in his life, as he's not that far away from PGA Tour champions and trying to go after all that. Maybe do a Steve Alker, Steve Alker's made, what, like $4.5 million on the Champions Tour the last, maybe even $5.5 million on the Champions Tour the last couple of years. So it can mean a lot. Just little things here and there can really mean a lot for a player. The other story that is more unfortunate, it's not uplifting, is Grayson Murray was forced to withdraw from the tournament earlier in the week as well. He withdrew, Johnson Wagner got in. The reason Grayson Murray withdrew is because he was in a serious scooter accident on Tuesday. According to the Royal Gazette and Golf Week reports, Murray was involved in a 3-vehicle collision with multiple injuries. His caddy, Douglas Schwimmer, who's now going to caddy for Johnson Wagner, also got injured, got road rash. He didn't go to the hospital, but Murray was knocked unconscious, received 50 stitches, including 25 on his face. He may have suffered ligament damage in his knee. He's going to see a specialist as he's returned home to North Carolina. Going to see that specialist today, according to Golf Week. And he's provided statements and graphic images to Golf Week. Obviously, this is an audio program, but if you want to check that stuff out, you can go to Golf Week and find out. Schwimmer was more or less okay, and he asked Murray for permission to caddy for Wagner after the incident, and Murray said that was fine. It's been a really tough year for Grayson Murray. Again, he doesn't get a whole lot of sympathy because of the way that he carries himself, and I understand all of that, but he came out very openly about substance abuse issues and mental health issues and trying to figure out how to really make his way in this world. It's really lonely and difficult and not easy at all. And that's just kind of a sad story, but two very contrasting stories. So hopefully for Arjun Atwal, good results. Hopefully for Grayson Murray, he recovers quickly and continues on the path toward a better life for himself, whether that's involved in professional golf or just as a human being. But that's something one to pass along. So the other story that we kind of have to talk about here is the LIV event, which is their team championship. It's in Miami at, well, the Miami area. It's not in Miami. At the Trump Golf Resort in Doral. It's underway. So they have quarterfinals, I guess today is what they're calling them. I wouldn't really call them quarterfinals. There's a system of 12 teams, right? And in this round today, the teams ranked 5 through 12 out of their team system from the first to the 7 individual events. They are going to play each other. They're playing right now. They're playing a shotgun start format. And the higher seeded teams got to pick their opponents for the event. So in the first round, it wasn't 5 versus 12, 6 versus 11, etc. The 5 team could pick whichever team that they wanted out of the lower ranked 4. So the 5 couldn't pick 6, but you know, if that makes sense. So then from there, the teams that got picked, you had 3 matches, 2 individual match play matches, and then 1 2-person alternate shot match rounding out the group. So presumably you would pick, I guess, your 2 strongest players to go individually and your 2 weakest to play alternate shot. I'm not exactly sure what I would do if this were my team or anything like that. But the scoring is not very easy to understand here, by the way, but basically all these matches are underway. They're playing their shotgun start format. If you've looked on YouTube, as I'm kind of want to do, because I care about the media side of this, really, frankly, more than the product of it. It looked like there were maybe 25,000 people watching about an hour into it. I've been doing other things since, but not a huge turnout and not a lot of people watching this. Now, is that because the worst teams are competing today? Is that because no one really cares about LIV? Is that because match play is not interesting, the team component? I guess all of that is up to conjecture, right? We don't know. And so you've got this week, this product that, you know, we've talked about is a big test for LIV, because this is what is supposed to be their differentiator. This is supposed to be the thing that makes this a business, right? And that has to be a business for the Saudis, because there has to be a franchise. And if you have franchises you can sell, then you can make your money back. And if you can make your money back, then it's worth putting in billions of dollars into a concept if you can recoup it. And I mean, that's basically how all the major professional sports leagues in this country work. People buy the right for a franchise for increasing amounts of money. Everybody gets a share of media rights in terms of the distribution. So that's how the people who buy in get their money back over the long term. And then you have merchandise and sponsorships and all these other things that these franchises would do to offset their cost. Well, so far, none of that's really materialized, right? There's no TV deal for LIV. There's no merch to speak of, except whatever stuff that Sergio Garcia makes himself. And that's a bit of a Twitter joke. And there's really no gate to speak of. I mean, it's not like people are coming to these in mass. And even if they are, have by the thousands, they're charging such little amounts of money for everything that there's no way they're coming out ahead. So there's really it's a lost leader at best, if you're putting it kindly. But this week is a big test for this business model, because so far the seven individual events have all been really about the individual players and then the bolt-on of this team concept that is not exactly easy to understand for some people. I mean, it's the best scores. It's first 2 days, I think, and then three of the best four in the last day. And there really hasn't been a close one of those yet. I mean, every time it seems like the team that has the most players in the top 15 wins going away. And if you have four of them, you're going to win. The Dustin Johnson team, which is called Four Aces, they won like the first four of them. They haven't won the last three, but they won four in a row, I believe. So they each got $750,000 on top of that. Great news for Pat Perez, who's played awfully bad since joining LIV. But this week is kind of their test. So if nobody cares about this concept, about team concept, then how do you go to a potential sponsor or potential buyer if you're LIV and say, this is a great investment, but no one watches? Yeah, I don't think that you can do that. And this is a big gamble. The gamble is that people will care about the teams. And there may be some people who care about the teams, but I haven't found that yet. At least I haven't found that in serious numbers. Maybe here and there, like, oh, I'm rooting for the Niblicks or Stinger or whatever the team is. But I haven't found massive adoption of that. So this is really the experiment of that. Can you do it when it's designed for that and that only? And there is no individual component. And if that's the case, is there interest from the players who sign with LIV to make the sport of LIV, whatever the league looks like next year, more about team golf and less about individual golf? Because if that's the power of the business model, then you would presume that's where you really want to go with it long haul. And I guess we'll just see about that. But that's the intrigue to me about this year. It really is. Now, I do want to provide something that's kind of comic relief to this, because obviously pretty much every time we talk about LIV, it's in kind of meta terms and more serious terms. Dustin Johnson, who still remains one of the best news conference guys in the world, because he plays the character of an aloof guy, but he's got a really dry sense of humor that goes along with it, and it is pretty funny. And so he was asked about... One question. Well, tomorrow will be a little weird not playing because his team's the top seed. Dustin Johnson. No. What did you do? Did you hit balls? I'll come practice, and I think we'll probably play one of the other courses at Doral just to get out and get some reps and just kind of a relaxing day. It's like any tournament. You start on a certain day. We're just starting on Saturday, not Friday. And he asked about the format. He says, exciting, cool, something different. And then asked about the format for Sunday, because Sunday the format changes and it goes from match play, three matches to decide a team versus team match, to having all four scores count for individuals, adding them up, kind of like college golf. And so it's clearly not about trying to identify the best team or having some kind of consistent format. It's trying to create something, as Dustin Johnson said, I think it's definitely going to make for interesting TV because all four guys have got to play well if you want to win. So it's really not about identifying the best player match play. It's about identifying some kind of format that might draw people in, and we'll see if it does that. The other thing I thought was kind of funny, asked of Dustin Johnson, have you given your team any advice? No. I mean, I'm sure I have. You'd have to ask them. I get a kick out of that, I guess. I can still have fun with the concept, even though I don't really understand the business side of it. I understand the golf piece of it, and I'm actually kind of vaguely interested in that, but really more from the perspective of do you care about that than do I care about that. I think I've gotten to the point in my life, and this is not a knock on me or golf or whatever, but I've gotten to the point in my life where I'm more interested in other people's views of these things, because I could sit here and talk about them forever, and I do, obviously, but at the end of the day, I don't have a decision in what works and what doesn't. I am one of millions of people who care about golf and are interested in golf, and my opinion counts just the same. So I want to know what people think in mass, not just what I have to say. So we'll see what the market says about this, and we'll see if it works out. And if it does, awesome for them, I guess. And if it doesn't, probably awesome for the PGA Tour, because that's an indication that's probably not going to work in the long haul. So this is an important week, whether you choose to think it is or isn't. In a meta sense, it matters. And so I'm very curious what'll happen. We'll have a better idea of that over the next few days. That's going to do it for us today on Two Off the First. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your support. It really does mean a lot, especially getting GNN Radio off the ground. Someday I'll explain to people what the last year has been like in full, and you might get an appreciation out of that. But getting this thing off the ground and being able to listen to it today is it's a big moment for me. We will be back probably on Sunday. I don't think we're going to do a show tomorrow. Last soccer game of the season for the Badgers. Please give them some good vibes on their last game of the year. But we'll have that and a whole bunch of other stuff on Saturday. But Sunday we'll have a chance to do a show and hopefully talk about not only whatever's going on stateside and in Bermuda, but also the Portugal Masters on the DP World Tour as well. All right, I'm Ryan Balogie. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next time on Two of the First.